Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. I'm Hugh O'Connell, the political correspondent with the Sunday Business Post, and I'm here with our political editor, Michael Brennan. And today we want to focus on the growing tensions between Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil and the future, if any, of their confidence and supply agreement. I think it's lasted longer than most of us anticipated, nearly 2 years now, but there does seem to be widespread unease within Fianna Fáil ranks as Fine Gael and Leo Varadkar are growing in the polls. Our poll numbers are growing, even as the health and housing crises get worse. As I was writing at the weekend, Fine Gael ministers believe the recent rhetoric of Fianna Fáil underscores the extent to which Fianna Fáil have now reverted to being a traditional opposition party and is determined to force an election. Michael, I think that the conscious uncoupling has begun, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think we're sort of in the end game, really, that we expected, and actually a lot of people expected to happen before this. We had a three-year conference and supply agreement between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. We're now approaching the final budget of that in October, and there's certainly a mood among Fianna Fáil backbenchers to say, what are we getting out of this? Our support level is dropping. Fine Gael's is going up. And surely it's time for us to start looking at an exit deal. Now, the party leader, Micheál Martin, has sort of scotched all that and said, I'm going to honour the confidence supply agreement. So for the moment, that's where we are. But that doesn't mean now we're not going to have any. We're effectively in the final 9 months or so of this government, and maybe sooner if something else happens.
Are you surprised it's lasted this long?
I have to say, not surprised in the way, where is the alternative? Once they spent the 3 months with difficulty putting this arrangement together, you always need to have a better alternative put in place. And the simple fact is the polls have been pretty similar since the government was set up back in 2016. So the incentive for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil to pull the plug hasn't been that great. And the big thing, I think, still is for Fianna Fáil, they need to have a clear shot at leading the next government. And the polls for quite a while now haven't shown that. So they have been hanging on, waiting to see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? Is I suppose Fine Gael, since Leo Varadkar took over last year, have increased in the polls. They're now kind of consistently above 30%, whereas you have Fianna Fáil more or less at where they were in the last general election. So I suppose there is a tetchiness and a spikiness now between Micheál and Leo and the Dáil in particular in the exchanges, I would say kind of in the last 3 months or so. And do you think that's a manifestation of the fact that Fianna Fáil are becalmed in the polls while Leo and Fine Gael shoot up to over 30%?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think it's probably two things. One is the poll gap that has opened up and the increased pressure on Micheál Martin to take on Leo Varadkar and take the sheen off his new regime. And the second is, I don't think they've ever had that good a relationship anyway. You know, they did talk about becoming closer during the justice crisis over Francis Fitzgerald, that they spent 4 days talking and negotiating together. But you just have to watch in the Dáil, as you and I often would, whenever Leo Varadkar throws some jibe at Micheál Martin over health, for example, and his record in health, and you just see that look on Micheál Martin's face. You know, I don't think there is any love lost between them, and Micheál Martin would have had a much better relationship with Enda Kenny. He was of his generation.
Different generations, aren't they?
Yeah. And they understood each other. I think they've never been easy bedfellows.
Yeah. I was talking to a Fianna Fáil frontbencher there a few weeks ago who was kind of saying, you know, it's really frustrating because we can't land the blow on these guys over housing and health, you know, these kind of perennial crises now. Yet there doesn't seem to be, no matter how bad the crises are getting, there doesn't seem to be a correspondence in the poll figures for the government and for Fine Gael, I suppose, which makes up the majority of the government. That's getting to a lot of people in Fianna Fáil, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and in the meantime, I think they have their own internal battle over the Eighth Amendment, you know, where Micheál Martin made a principal decision to go and say he was going to support the repeal of the Eighth Amendment. That came as a shock to a lot of his own TDs, and you have this internal battle going on in Fianna Fáil of the majority of the parliamentary party opposed to repealing the Eighth Amendment, people like Micheál Martin and a small number of his TDs who actually are in favour. So I think some people in the party would put down Fianna Fáil's struggles in the polls, perhaps to some of its own supporters being unhappy with his stance there. But it's very hard to tell because there's so much else has been going on in politics.
It's pretty significant as well that he's taken a more critical approach towards the government, Micheál Martin, this is, in relation to Brexit, isn't it? He's said that I think he's on record now saying that they've made strategic errors, as far as he's concerned, in pushing out the deadline for a solution on the border issue out to October now, I think, or June anyway. October, in fact. That's significant, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because there has been a tradition in opposition politics of you can hammer the seven bells or the government when it comes to health and housing and domestic issues, but when it comes to effectively foreign affairs, you speak with one voice, and Brexit is the ultimate foreign policy problem for the government. But we have seen that divergence where they're starting to say we support your general strategy, but we don't think you're actually achieving results, and I think in fairness to Micheál Martin, I think that's motivated by a genuine concern. I don't think he's actually scoring political points on it, because let's face it, Brexit is far off for a lot of voters, and it may not be foremost in some of their minds when it comes to casting their ballots. But I think Micheál Martin on Brexit, and also Northern Ireland, he's been complaining about that for a long time.
But that goes back several years. He's always been critical of, I remember he was very critical of Enda Kenny over the North, and what he viewed as the government's detachment, the Fine Gael Labour government's detachment from issues in the North.
Yeah.
Which he could justifiably argue now has led to the sort of, the disinterest of number 10 and of Merrion Street over the last 6 or 7 years has possibly led to the situation we're in now.
I think one of those is feeding into the other. Yeah. As a former Minister for Foreign Affairs, he's deeply invested in that whole area. He travels to the North for functions and meets people there, and feels that there has been that growing gulf between the Irish and British governments and the political system in the North. And in a way, Brexit then feeds into that gap which has opened up is manifesting itself in Brexit negotiations are going off the rails. So it's a deeply held conviction, but it is not going to trouble. The only reason it will become problematic for Leo Varadkar is if we get a really bad Brexit outcome in October, then all of a sudden, it will, the bounce he has got from the conduct of Brexit so far will turn into a big negative if the end game and the end result is a really poor Brexit deal.
I was watching Micheál Martin on The Week in Politics on Sunday, and it struck me, it was a very odd interview, I thought, because it wasn't at all clear to me what exactly he was on, what the reason he was on for. Normally, the political party leaders do these interviews when there's a party conference or a think-in or some sort of set-piece political event to shape this kind of one-on-one interview around. There was nothing that I could see that had him on, that the reason for him being on. And a couple of people in Fine Gael text me and were kind of saying, why is he on? They were of the view that this was all about sounding the election drumbeat and stuff like that. What did you think of what he had to say on Sunday?
I would suspect that part of the reason for him to come out and say what he said was because there has been that growing dissent within his own party as to what are we doing, should we pull out? And Micheál was effectively going on the national broadcaster on The Week in Politics to say, look, let's not panic here, we're committing to our deal. As I've said before, we'll do three budgets. And he basically is sort of slapping down some of the talk that had arisen about an early election. Realistically, I think nobody expects one with the Eighth Amendment referendum in the forefront. Do you have one then in the summer, which is not a time we usually have elections in June,
July?
The weather might be good, certainly. And then Fianna Fáil have to decide. Do they decide in September to become very unhappy with the budget negotiations and feel that Fine Gael just don't care about the people and the housing needs and the health crisis and pull down the government? And they're all risky strategies, but there is an opportunity for them in September. If they want to manufacture a pretext, then certainly they'll be able to do that.
It strikes me as being a very tight window when you think about it, right? Because you could get to a situation where, okay, there's not going to be an election before the Eighth Amendment referendum. I think everyone's kind of agreed on that, and everyone in Leinster House has agreed that there doesn't need to be an election before the referendum. But then you get into the summer and in the lead up to the budget. But let's say you were to get beyond the budget, you were to agree the budget, but you don't actually get that passed in terms of the finance bill, the social welfare bill, January, early February. And then you're 4 or 5 weeks away from Brexit. And then you're kind of saying, well, do we really want to have an election when we've got this this major event happening at the end of March? So, from Fianna Fáil's point of view, it strikes me as if there's a very narrow window, kind of like you said there, kind of from the summer to September, where they could decide to pull the plug. Would that be a fair enough take, do you think?
I think that window is definitely there, and it's definitely narrow.
I don't see anything beyond the end of 2018. You know, they could get into the spring and they could suddenly say, well, you know, Brexit's coming then with the local and the Europeans in May.
I think potentially there's still a window in spring for the reason you will have the October meeting of the European Council, all the EU leaders. We effectively have to have some form of deal thrashed out by then. You could have the outlines of a solution, and that's been very optimistic.
Yeah.
And you get an election early in that spring. You have the British exit, the formal one finally in March 2019. Then you have the local and European elections in May, you know, but effectively you have to have a general election really early in spring 2019. Otherwise, you're up against all the other things. So it's complicated. But I don't think people expect the 3 years. I think people think that's a pretty good run for this minority government, and for it to stay cobbled together beyond that, it definitely looks difficult at this point.
I think there's a lot of people in Fine Gael who'd like it to go on because they get to keep their jobs. But I think the reality is, you're right. I mean, I just don't see how Micheál Martin can get an extension of the deal past his parliamentary party, for example, never mind the grassroots members who I think are kind of getting increasingly frustrated with this whole arrangement.
Yeah. That, by the way, would give you another pretext. You know, we've talked about the budget negotiations. You could have talks beginning after the budget on a new extended programme for government. But then Fianna Fáil discover again that Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael aren't serious enough, and they need to go to the country to give the people their say. So that would give them another pretext, perhaps.
Could another pinch point as well be Varadkar is, I was talking to his spokesman last week, who was kind of saying that ideally we'd like the budget, we'd like the talks on extending confidence and supply to take place in parallel with the budget or around the same time as the budget. That, to me, from talking to Fianna Fáil anyway, is not a runner. It's the budget, and then we'll talk about extending the deal. Could that be a big conflict point, do you think?
I just would agree with you flat out. I don't see that as being possible at all, because a budget is a huge negotiation process, and there, you know, for example, issues in the budget could run on into an extended conference supply. Mm. So you need to get one deal done. You rarely see two mega deals negotiated in parallel for obvious reasons. Yeah. You know, so I think that's just not going to work. You have to try and get the budget done, then worry about. But you can see again, you know, from the Fine Gael point of view, they're quite comfortable as they are. They're in command. They're in power.
The trappings of power.
They're in power. You know, Fianna Fáil are out of power. Yeah. And why wouldn't you want to extend it a bit, especially if that budget? They will be thinking, yeah, we can get a few more tax cuts of some shape or form, a few more social welfare increases. If we can keep it going in the spring for that to kick in, well, all the better for us.
Yeah. You were writing on businesspost.ie about Micheál Martin's tweet yesterday in relation to the front page of the Irish Independent. That was interesting, that intervention yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I suppose the context to it, on that same Weekend Politics programme we were talking about, he raised the issue of independent news and media and the alleged data breach there, and people who are having their email accounts hacked into by a company, and investigations in progress. He said he was very concerned and the implications for the independence of journalism. Then I suppose yesterday morning he saw the front page of the Irish Independent, which spoke about a backlash against him in his own party.
From John McGuinness.
Yes, for extending the conference supply.
Not a fan of Micheál,
he would be a safe person to go maybe if you wanted someone to make remarks questioning his judgment. But Micheál Martin seemed to take umbrage of that from his tweet, where he said he commended the special effort given to that story, and that his own story about journalistic independence and the data breach was on page 8, I think.
Yeah. So has he got a point, do you think? Like, do you think it was a targeted effort by INM to have a go at Micheál for his intervention on Sunday on the Week in Politics, or is he reading too much into it?
Like, it's impossible to know. I used to work, obviously, with the Irish Independent for 7 years or so, and I'm long gone at this stage, so I don't know, you know, what went on in the newsroom on Sunday night. You know, you could make the argument that, you know, this was a response to Micheál and a slap down at him because he dared to bring up the independent news and media. But at the same point, the Irish Examiner put on their front page the Micheál Martin's comments about conference supply. So it was a significant story. I think what is definitely interesting is you have Micheál Martin consciously deciding to draw attention to it and effectively saying to the Independent, independent, you know, Irish independent, right, lads, you know, I'm not happy with you. I'm drawing public attention to it. Normally, party leaders like him don't, and especially Micheál Martin, don't engage in public scraps with large newspapers like the Irish Independent. So, you know,
election mode, maybe.
A bit of sharpening from Micheál Martin's point of view. But I expect the Irish Independent to take it in combative form as well.
Should be interesting. Okay, well, we'll have to see how it all progresses over the next few months. For the moment, Michael Brennan, thanks very much. And this has been a special edition of the Post podcast. I'm Hugh O'Connell, and we'll talk to you again soon.